Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back at 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com, and there's a really good reason why I want you to know about that website, and the really good reason is sitting in front of me. Lillian Vernon, ladies and gentlemen, is with us right now, and not only will you be, obviously, you can hear the show on the radio, but also on the Internet, but you're going to be able to go back and listen to her interview again if you want to, and I think you're going to want to. In our archives. And so that's you can find it at our website, jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter when you get there. I am so excited about having Lillian Vernon here. I've admired what she's done in the marketplace as long as I've known about her. Many of you will remember Fred Hochberg, who's the former deputy administrator of the SBA, who has been on the show many times before. And that is, Fred Hochberg is Lillian Vernon's son. And so that's a great connection. But right now I want to introduce you to someone who's one of my heroes, Lillian Vernon. Ms. Vernon, welcome to the show.
I'm a hero. I'm a heroine.
You are. What Maya Angelou said you're a shero.
Okay.
How about that? Do you like that?
Yeah, sure.
Have you heard Maya before, Dr. Angelou before?
No.
I was so impressed with her. But I'm really glad you're here. Thank you for being here on the show. And on behalf of small business owners everywhere, thank you for the inspirations you've been to us over the years.
Thank you.
Now, you started your business when you were very young, 22, you told us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard you speak last night. By the way, you were the Office Depot's Pioneer Visionary Award winner.
Well, who started as long ago as I did? I mean, that's a while ago, 51.
Was it 1951?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you received the Pioneer Award and the Visionary Pioneer Award. Congratulations on that. And congratulations to Office Depot for bestowing that upon you. But when you spoke, you talked about starting your business at 22 on the kitchen. Now, Fred told me when he was on the show before, he told me you started on the kitchen table.
I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, when you're young and you're just married and you're pregnant, you have to take whatever space you can, and the kitchen table was available. Thank God I didn't have the baby on the kitchen table. But I did have the business on the business.
So it was a home-based business in 1951, wasn't it?
Home-based business, but that was very common.
Yeah.
The guys were back for more. They needed some money. And their wives got together and worked together. And some of them built very formidable private and public companies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those executives that are walking around now either are retired or still work.
Mm-hmm.
And those are skills they learned in the 50s.
Right. Now, what was your thought when you were developing this company? What was your product that you were trying to develop?
Well, I had to take something that I can get. And I got my father, who was a manufacturer of handbags, to make a belt and a bag and a matching belt for me. He did that. I decided I'm going to personalize it so it's different from anything anybody else did. I'd put your initials on.
Monogram.
Monogram.
Yeah.
And monogram has become a major...
So you started the whole monogramming thing.
I did. You know, lots of people taking credit for it, but I'm
glad because from now on, whenever I hear anybody taking credit for that, I'm going to straighten them out.
Would you do that?
I will do that every time.
Please.
I will. And I'll never see a monogram without thinking of you now.
Oh, good. That's nice. I'm going to tell Fred to call you.
Yeah, you be sure to tell Fred. I want to keep up with him and see what he's doing. We'll get him back on the show. Let's talk about your first customers. Tell us about them.
Well, many of them were young teenagers. Because
you had some hip. These were hip products, weren't they?
Well, there were bags with monogram, belts with monograms. I tried some glasses with monograms, and they were a big flop because my audience really was a teenager. But you know, with every flop comes a new beginning, and that's what I did. Never went out of business. Never went bankrupt. Always made money, and I think that's a good sign for anyone going into business and being in business.
You were the first. Your company was the first woman-owned company to be listed on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Well, so they say.
That's what I've been told.
Oh, it's true.
Now, so you've had some great successes, but and you mentioned, you alluded to some failures a minute ago, some flops as you call them. And
I don't know if buying a product that doesn't outperform the last product is a flop. It's just a testing thing.
Right.
Now marketing people are always testing. So let's test that.
Yeah.
Oh, that microphone will be better than that microphone.
Right.
So now they call it testing. Then they call it failure.
Well, you know, Thomas Edison said, failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
Right.
Isn't that a great way to say
it? Yes, it is.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back after these messages, I want you to tell us about some of the things that didn't go so well for you and what you learned from that. And then I want you to talk to us a little bit more about this company that you founded and that you grew into a multi-million-dollar, very international success story. She was one of the very first, ladies and gentlemen, mail order businesses, and that's how she got started. We're going to be right back after these messages. It's 22. We're visiting with Lillian Vernon.
Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love?
We're back at 17-2. I'm Tim Game, the Small Business Advocate. This is a red letter day for me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm interviewing face to face with someone that I've admired for years. I've known about her. I remember my mother using her catalog to buy things. Lillian Vernon, ladies and gentlemen, who hasn't heard of the Lillian Vernon line of products or catalog? Ms. Vernon, again, congratulations on all your success. Congratulations on being such an inspiration to a lot of women, actually, and you know, a lot of men too, because you've blazed the trail for a lot of things. You were a mail order pioneer too, weren't you?
I guess so. You know, they tell you all these things, and I start believing them.
Well, it's because you didn't think of that at the time. You weren't thinking of it like that at the time. Tell us about some of the things that you did that didn't work out so well, and what did you learn from those things?
Well, I told you, I did, privacy. We did some houseware, some glasses with monograms. They did not work out.
Yeah.
Our thrust mainly is, as I said, personalized, but mainly for teenagers, for young women. Handbags, accessories, and they work very well. We have a huge Christmas line. We have a garden business. We've kind of covered the sphere. And what didn't work out was the time around 9/11.
Right.
Nobody was really buying.
Right.
People didn't know what was happening.
That was a tough time, wasn't
tough
it?
Tough time.
What did you do?
We did it. We just kept working.
Kept
I mean, I don't know what you do when things go wrong. And something very wrong with the world happened.
Right. Yeah. Now, your website is LillianVernon.com?
Right.
Okay. And they can actually buy online now, can't they?
Buy online. It's 40% of our business. It's amazing.
In 1951, did you ever have any idea did you have any kind of a vision for what this could become?
Well, no. You know, here I was, this housewife with two kids running a home, lots of parties. I believe life is should be one big party. And, you know, you had to make time for all of it.
Right.
And if you really work at it, you can. I do believe that we should lighten up a little and make it a little more fun.
Have more fun. I agree with you, because as you know, that's my philosophy. You can, and I'm going to ask you if you agree with me about this. I tell small business owners, you can be a serious business owner, a serious manager, and still have fun in your day. What do you think?
Well, fun has nothing to do with being serious. You know that.
Yeah.
I think you have to have time for it all. I seem to have managed it. You know, my husband complains I don't have time for him, but I think he'd complain even if I had time, all the time in the world for him, and I think this is a common complaint.
Right.
But
now you're still going to work. You're in the office 4 days a week now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. They give me a day off.
They do. They give you a day off.
Yeah.
Well, what do you like to do? What do you like to keep your hands in these days?
I am basically a merchant. Mm-hmm. I believe I've won so many awards, they finally convinced me I must be good. And I think the company needs a visionary, and I was the visionary, and now they're looking for one.
And you still are the visionary.
I am a visionary about merchandise.
What would you say to the women out there who are listening? Now, you started your business in 1951 at 22. You had two children. You needed to supplement the income. There are millions of women out there right now where you were in 1951. What would you like to say to them?
I'd like to tell them that it's possible. So many people defeat themselves by having negative thoughts about themselves. They're the best that they can be, and they should work hard at making themselves better every day, and I think it's possible. The world is wide open. Why aren't they as smart as the next one? Because they really are.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to recognize that and grow on that.
What do you tell? What would you tell women when they come up against obstacles? What you tell them to do?
Just work through them.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had lots of obstacles. I'm writing my second book, and I'll put some of them in.
Congratulations.
Well, I don't know. It's not written yet, so don't congratulate me too soon.
Well, I want you to launch it on my show when it comes out.
Oh, I will. I don't know launch.
Back.
I don't know what launch means.
That means when it comes out in the bookstores, I want to be the first person to interview you about it. How about that? Anybody else offered you that made that offer to
no,
you?
No, nobody.
So, okay, there you go. What's that book going to be about, by the way?
Well, I don't know. I think life stories, how to get through business, how to grow old graciously, how to grow old beautifully. Physically
which,
beautiful.
And by the way, folks, if you've ever met Lillian Vernon, that's a book she could write.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be interesting because I'm not sure one has been written like that. What do you do in business? Why do you go into business? What's your aim? And be honest about wanting to make money.
How did you deal with opening a business, being successful in the era that you were growing your business in what was really a man's world, a man's marketplace? How did you do that?
Cried at night quietly.
Did you really?
All alone.
Did you really?
Oh, sure. People were very insulting about it. Where was your boss? Wouldn't you walk me to his office?
They came into your office and saw you and said, take me to your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what did you say?
I'm the boss.
You hit him with a stapler or something?
No.
You said, I'm the boss, and then you said, but you're not doing business with me.
No, I don't think you hold anything against anyone. You hold a grudge against somebody, it'll just come back and hurt you.
Right. Okay. I got about a minute left. Tell us some more things. Talk to the ladies out there. What would you tell them about dealing with their customers, taking care of their customers?
Take care of your customers or you don't have a business.
Yeah.
If you don't take care of your customers, they don't need to come back to you, especially today. Mm-hmm. Maybe back in my day when nobody did monogramming.
Right.
I was there all alone and I had the customers come back and back and back.
Not too many unique things today, are there?
No. Well, that was my specialty.
Yeah, yeah. But there are still niches out there that they can fill, aren't there?
There are niches they can fill. There are jobs they can do. And most of all, take care of your customers. Read all the books you can.
Right.
Learn how to do that. And learn how to do it well.
Lillian Vernon, thank you for being here. It's been my pleasure. This is such an honor for me. I hope you'll be back another day on my show.
Ask me and I'll be here.
Thank you very much. Lillian Vernon, ladies and gentlemen, she's a real pioneer, and we're going to get her back again real soon. I told you we'd have a great visit with her. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with Lauren Garvey. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
Say I'll move to New York. New York's fine, but it ain't
though. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.